The Southwestern Vermont Medical Center in Bennington has been on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic for the past 2 years and more. But while it was serving as the primary treatment center for people who contracted serious cases of the COVID virus, which required hospitalization, as well as serving as the primary location for vaccine distribution to counter the virus at the former Southern Vermont College Gymnasium, it has also been advancing a long-term project known as Vision 2020. This is a multifaceted effort that will upgrade its emergency department, expand its existing cancer center, and deepen its partnership with the Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical System. Part of that will involve the Southwestern Vermont Medical Center becoming a teaching hospital for the Dartmouth system. Thomas D., the president and CEO of SVMC, talked about the progress of this transformative initiative recently both in Manchester and at the Everett Mansion at the former Southern Vermont College campus, which was acquired by SVMC towards the end of 2020, and where the hospital hopes to create a daycare facility. At the event at the Inn at Manchester, we had a chance to hear more about the project from him.
What led you to kind of focus on the emergency rooms and the cancer center as the centerpieces of what you are doing? Are those areas that, you know, surveys indicated there was an expanded need for compared to the
past? You know, we focused on the areas, Andrew, that we felt had the greatest community impact. And certainly, if you look at most community hospitals, the emergency rooms are the centerpiece of hospitals. They touch virtually everyone's lives. In our case, 25,000 people a year, which is a significant number. When it was first built, it was built to handle about 12,000, so it's doubled in its volume there. And certainly, it's a life and death type service. And in many ways, a cancer center is the same way. It's we treat about 5,000 patients every year. It's a regional cancer center right now. We know when people have a cancer diagnosis, they may be diagnosed in New York or Boston or wherever, but their ongoing care, needs to be close to home because it's a daily type treatment. So we knew there's a high need in the area. There's a high prevalence of cancer. And also, people, I think, very much valued having the service here, and we have a relationship with Dartmouth-Hitchcock. We have an agreement that they're helping to run our cancer center. So we have the Norris Cotton Cancer Center, which is their cancer center, really being the parent of our cancer center. So we think it's two great services to start with.
And the point you made about being a teaching hospital for Dartmouth, I thought it was quite interesting. I wonder if you could talk about that for a second.
Sure. One of the biggest problems in healthcare in Vermont is lack of access to primary care doctors. And so we've been sitting down with Dartmouth and talking about that and developing a plan whereby the potential of having SVMC become a regional teaching hospital for family medicine physicians. Doctors who specialize in family practice would go through a 3-year residency program, focus either here or also maybe at another Dartmouth hospital, but under the umbrella of Dartmouth, they'd be trained. And if you look at the research, about half the residents stay within the area where they've been trained. So we think it's a great way to add to the supply of doctors, add to an undercount of family medicine doctors in Vermont, and just continue to raise the bar, the type of care that we provide in our health system.
Because it's been my impression that attracting doctors to work in a rural state like Vermont has been challenging over the years.
The biggest challenge is getting doctors to come and experience it. Once they come, and once they have a chance to be here and get to know the type of people that they're working with and know the area, usually they want to stay. That's been our experience. So we think if we can get them here in the first place and get them here through their training in 3 years of getting to know us and learning about Vermont and learning about all the great qualities of living here, we think we're going to be in a great position to keep those doctors.
Plans call for Vision 2020 to be completed by next year, in 2023, with the emergency department doubled in size and the cancer center expanded. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. Like police departments nationwide, the Vermont State Police are struggling to keep their staffing levels where they'd like them to be. According to a recent story in VT Digger published in April of 2022, the state police have an authorized staffing level of 332 troopers, but currently only have on staff about 290. And according to a 2021 survey conducted by the state police, there's been a 14% decline in the total number of officers available for duty between 2018 and 2021. To help attract candidates to apply for jobs within the state police, the agency has added a new civilian position of recruitment specialist to the agency's Office of Professional Development, a Pittsburgh-based unit whose responsibilities include attracting new sworn members to the VSP's ranks. Dale Nelson is a native Vermonter who grew up on a dairy farm in Derby. He recently became the first civilian to hold the title of recruiter within the Vermont State Police. What makes his appointment interesting is the use of his video skills to potentially reach more possible recruits. His work includes showing emergency vehicles and crime scene investigation work, among many others. We had a chance to talk with him recently about what he does, how he does it, and the nature of the mission.
I'm a recruitment specialist, so my job is to bring applicants to the Vermont State Police. I am a civilian, so as far as telling potential applicants what the job of being a trooper is like, we leave that to our recruitment specialists who are sworn members. So my job is through the medium of videography, through marketing, bringing applicants into the agency. So I do a lot of videography. So on a day-to-day basis, I am traveling around the state, getting interviews, capturing content, taking photos, everything we can use for showcasing our agency to try to grab potential qualified applicants. But the Vermont State Police wanted to think outside of the box and bring in a civilian for this job. So it's not a new position. However, the videography aspect is something that I brought in with me. I have a background in videography, and it didn't really say it in the job title, to be honest, that I would be taking videos every day. It's just something when I applied to the job, I kind of read between the lines, and I knew that this is a skill that I have that we could utilize, and I think it would be really helpful. And I think it was the second day on the job, I was shooting a video ready to, you know, getting all the content I could, and we were able to utilize it right away and get direct results. So recruitment specialist as a job has been around, but the twist that we have put on it with my new position is definitely new. Video is a great tool because social media is everything. And as much as things come and go as a fad, one thing that's been around for about a decade, maybe more, is social media. And everyone has a computer in their pocket. And it's free. It's free. So we are able to use these platforms with my cameras and these platforms, we are able to get advertisement out. I think before social media, you had to pay for digital advertising, whether it's through websites or getting a commercial on TV. We are able to, in real time, day by day, take videos showcasing our brand and essentially small commercials and post them online for the public and potential applicants to see.
Is this a historic anomaly that the force is having, you know, a hard time recruiting new members? And is that something that's really kind of unusual? Or is it just sort of part of a cycle that goes up and down?
Well, so yeah, we are having trouble with recruiting, and it's not just the Vermont State Police, it's nationwide. COVID had a big impact on that. Things got really difficult. So it is a nationwide problem that is happening. So there's could be many reasons. I guess what my job is to try to lay down the groundwork so when people start coming around to maybe considering law enforcement as a career again, we have the right things in place as far as marketing to bring in these applicants. Despite that our recruitment is down, and it's across the state and the country, we have not lowered our standards. So even though recruitment is down, we still need the right qualified people for the job. This job can be very difficult, so we need the right qualified person for the job, which can be difficult in a time where recruiting is down. It can be difficult to do desperate things to grab applicants, but we will not lower our standards. We have a level of professionalism that we love to maintain, as well as we are representing the state of Vermont. So though it is down across the country, we are trying to lay the groundwork. So when things do come around, we are ready to grab all the applicants we can.
When recruitment posters and websites aren't enough, video skills and social media are another way to get the word out. Maybe one will go viral. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. A milestone in the push to bring high-speed, reliable broadband service to Bennington County, and part of the overall statewide effort to ensure all residents have access to that service, was celebrated recently in Shaftesbury. A first phase of the effort to bring fiber-based high-speed broadband to all addresses across the county is underway. The Southern Vermont Communications Union District has partnered with Consolidated Communications to wire up Bennington County with modern, high-speed capacity fiber optic cable. The initial phase covers addresses mostly in Bennington and Pownall. Communication Union District board members, several state legislators, and officials from Consolidated Communications met on Wednesday, May 31st, to mark this milestone moment and to hear about the next steps. We spoke with Eric Hatch, the chairman of the Southern Vermont CUD's Board of Directors.
We're really just starting phase one. So we've already technically started phase one, which is stringing the fiber through Bennington, Pownall, Woodford, and even Glastonbury, the four or five addresses there. And so this is really the start of three phases. Phase one, which is today's event, will finish by the end of this year, probably around Q3 of this year. And then starting in Q1 of next year will be phase two. Phase two is the rest of the CUD. And that includes all of the homes not already covered in this first phase, all the way up to Rupert and Londonderry, Landgrove, Windhall, Manchester, every of one of the 14 towns in the CUD. So that will actually only take 1 year as well to do. So by the end of next year, 2023, we'll have the entire district covered, except for what we call our phase three, which are the hardest 100. It's now probably the hardest 50. And those folks, we're doing the analysis now to see how they would be served with fiber, which may be from a service provider. It will be a service provider other than Consolidated, because of their geographic isolation. They may be coming through New York or Massachusetts or another CUD. That's the one thing that we need to complete so that we can send a universal coverage plan to the VCBB, the Vermont Community Broadband Board, in the coming weeks. And then they will consider our application for funding, which we then can work with Consolidated for the engineering and planning for the start of next year for phase two.
The Southern Vermont Communications Union District, or CUD, is one of several that have emerged across the state to bring modern levels of broadband internet service to areas that have historically been underserved. Often that's the case because homes are in remote areas that cost more to have internet infrastructure installed to than private sector companies can expect to offset in terms of a sufficient return on their investment. Consolidated Communications will be partnering with the Southern Vermont CUD to wire up Bennington County, and this initial first phase will be financed by Consolidated alongside a subsidy from the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. Consolidated has set up a division known as Fidium Fiber to manage the build-out. Ultimately, this partnership is focused on achieving universal service across the CUD. Mary Ellen Player, the Vice President of Marketing and Expansion for Consolidated, described their role.
But we're doing all of Bennington, the city of Bennington proper, all of those green lines that you saw on that map. Only 400 of those are unserved, or what would be considered unserved or underserved. We're not asking for, those could normally be granted for, we're not asking for that grant. We're just going to do them as part of our partnership with the CUD, in addition to what we're doing for the entire town of Bennington.
So what has been the biggest challenge for you folks to getting these underserved areas served?
Sure.
And as you anticipate the build out throughout the entire county, moving up the northern part of the county,
right.
What is the part of that that makes you wonder,
Is it supply chain stuff? I mean, getting the cable and the raw material and the personnel to string it?
Sure. I wish I could think easily of what a challenge has been, because we haven't run into many. We have the ability to demand a lot of things from our vendors in terms of supply chain. So we're not, we have fiber in the warehouse and crews ready to go, which is why we're ahead of schedule, which is why in some of our other towns, roughly the size of some that'll be in the Southern Vermont CUD, we're running about 3 to 4 months, which you never hear a construction project being ahead of schedule, certainly not in my construction experience. But that's what we're finding here, is because we have the will, we have the way, and we have the capital today to go and make this happen. So I don't anticipate really any problems.
So you've done work so far basically out of your own pockets.
That's right.
And then phase two, we'll see the arrival of some of the state and federal money
that
comes through the CUD.
That's right. And we're still contributing some of our funds in phase two. So that RDOF, the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, that's all our money. That's also it's partially subsidized federally, but also partially some of our funds. We also are contributing a non-insignificant amount of funds as part of phase two for sort of the last mile, the last 50 feet, let's say, so which is from the road to the home. So we're doing that on our as our contribution to the project as well. So it's not, it's a mix. It becomes just more of a mix of federal and state funds in phase two, but not entirely exclusively.
Communication union districts were formed from legislation passed in 2019, and building on a model that was pioneered about a decade earlier by ValleyNet and EC Fiber, which pulled together a group of towns to raise money to bring faster internet services to their communities in East Central Vermont. There are now 9 CUDs in place across the state. The effort got a boost from federal dollars that became available through the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA funding, along with a realization when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, fast, reliable broadband service was now a necessity, not a luxury. Rob Fish, the Deputy Director of the Vermont Community Broadband Board, gave us a statewide picture at the moment.
We are making progress. Thanks to the foresight of the legislature and all the work that had been done before and during the pandemic, Vermont is ahead of the curve. We have communication union districts serving the vast majority of our towns, 208 of our 252 now towns in the state are sending 2 representatives to their local communication union district. These districts have allowed small rural communities to aggregate the demand. This allows them to negotiate. This allows them to attract other providers. This allows them to build a business case for building a fiber optic network in their community. This allows them access to the suppliers that are going to provide the fiber, that are going to provide the workforce. This is an area where we are miles ahead of the rest of the country, and we are using that to our advantage. As you saw today, the Southern Vermont CUD, Bennington County, will likely be wired within the next 2 years to all underserved addresses. Around the state, in the northern part of the state, they're partnering with Google Fiber. That could serve, I think it's 43,000 addresses with fiber. We awarded grants to the Northeast Kingdom, the town of Bolton, and are expecting applications from the other CUDs. Things are happening on the ground. People are getting connected, and we're excited.
Fiber optic internet, commonly called fiber internet or simply fiber, is a broadband connection that can reach speeds of up to 940 megabits per second with low lag time. The technology uses fiber optic cable, which can send data as fast as about 70% of the speed of light. Right now, a typical level of service that could be defined as modern or high speed offers 25 megabits per second of download speed and 3 megabits per second of upload. With fiber, those upload and download speeds become much, much faster. Finally, on a note of full disclosure, I am also on the CUD's board of directors and represent the town of Sunderland on its board. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.